Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to Women in WP. Today's episode is sponsored by Ninja Forms, a terrific form building plugin. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Amy Masson.
Our guest today is Amber Peachin, joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Amber runs a creative agency where she builds brands, websites, and big ideas. Welcome, Amber.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We like to start off each episode by asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
Well, my first foray into WordPress was actually moving an old blog that I had from Blogger to WordPress in like 2010. And I think it was WordPress.com even. And then when I launched my business in 2016 and started to build my own website, I went to WordPress.org because I had some familiarity with it. I just remember it being so hard and so frustrating at the time. And looking back now, thinking about the problems that I had were such basic elemental problems that now I don't even think about it anymore. So I feel like that tells me that I've learned a thing or two. But I think what actually connected me most though was going to a WordCamp Phoenix event in 2016 and meeting the community, meeting people, making friends. And so I've been using WordPress ever since because it's so easy to get help when you are frustrated, but also just so many other people doing so many cool things.
Yeah, I think, you know, as so many people have come on here and said how, you know, they were using WordPress, but, you know, not really deeply, and then went to a WordCamp and it just, you know, blew the doors off everything for them. And I think that the reason for that is because that we're all the WordPress people are awesome.
I am going to agree. I second the motion. We're all awesome.
I was just talking about that on this trip that I was on about how the WordPress community, it's, you know, for better or worse, it's like we have this kind of ragtag bunch of people who, you know, you can be anything. You know, I guess there's a low barrier to entry. You can be anything and go to a WordCamp. And this person was talking about how they brought their wife to a WordCamp. So this is someone who's a plugin developer that I had dinner with, and brought his wife to a WordCamp, and she's a doctor. And she said, wow, that was the most welcoming, inviting group of people I have ever met. Because like in the medical conferences, there's definitely a division of here's the doctors and here's the nurses and, you know, kind of this hierarchy and things. And she was just felt herself comfortable. And what we were talking about later in the podcast on Tuesday was how you don't just come in and be all developers. So Tara King, who was on most recently, mm-hmm. is also a Drupal community person. So she's kind of a double agent. Like she's like in the Drupal space and she's in the WordPress space. And she says, you know, the Drupal conferences tend to be mostly like developers, but with WordPress, you would have business owners and people at all levels. So I feel like that was really welcoming. So did you have that sense when you went to your first WordCamp? Like, hey, here's people.
Yeah, I did. Like I had my background, I left an advertising agency where I was doing public relations and creative work and advertising, a lot of writing and things like that. And had started my own agency, mostly doing content was my goal at the time. And a friend invited me to WordCamp because she was running it. So I went and I met people, but I was like, I'm not a developer. I don't really know, like I can kind of do this for my own site and I can update content, but you know, this isn't for me, but I went anyway, cause I was bored and needed to make business connections too. But, and that was, I think my impression was that there were people there that were talking about how they built their business and how to run a solopreneur, event. Or a solopreneur business and how to build for themselves the things that they wanted to build to be successful. And for me, that was like this huge mind-blowing thing where it's like, oh, I'm at a development conference, but a lot of the work and the conversation is about not how to be a developer, but how to use this product to build your business in whatever way you're building your business. And that for me was, I think, the golden ticket, as you say, because it was like, it was the connections I needed to be a solopreneur, to be an entrepreneur, because nobody talks about how lonely that journey can be. That's something that I think is really overlooked, is just how few people understand what it is you're trying to do and how few people seem to get it, at least for me in my regular life. And so meeting all of those people who are doing the same thing, and not just doing the same thing, but were so incredibly generous to help me figure out how to do my own thing. And that's where it was like, that really resonated well with me. I've been to other conferences for businesses, and I do a lot of work in the insurance space, which is kind of a super dorky, nerdy space to be in. But it's where I've like kind of found a niche, is that insurance space. And you go to insurance conferences, and it is very much like, I'm only going to talk to you if you have something to offer me that I want. And that we are also, we have to be like business, like the robotic, you know, men in suits kind of things. And it's, you look around the room and there might be 500 people there, and there might be 20 of them are women, and there are very few people of color, and it's just very, very non-diverse. And so it's fun to go to WordPress conferences where everybody, I feel like, is willing to have a conversation, and they care more about you rather than like what you can do for them. It's the reverse. It's the flip side of, how can I help you? What are you working on? I'm excited for you. And it's just like this whole group of cheerleaders. And since that first conference, I've spoken at a couple conferences. I volunteered at all of the conferences I go to, because that's, for me at least, that's the funnest way to get involved and get to meet people, to volunteer. And it's just that collaboration and the willingness to work together. Like, that is, for me, the heart of WordPress, is like, let's work together and see what we can build. So
I think they don't, like, people, you said people don't realize how lonely it can be. But I also think that those of us who do this don't always realize how lonely we are. You know, for a long time, I, you know, started my business in 2006, but I didn't go to a WordCamp till 2013. And I had no idea that there was this whole community that you could be a part of that would really, I mean, not just make my business thrive, which it did, just everything I learned at that first WordCamp really turned my business around, but, you know, just enhanced my personal life too, because now I have these friends like all over the country that I can, you know, go visit if I'm out. Hey, I'm going to be in, you know, DC. Can I pop by and have coffee? And everybody wants to do that. And there's hardly anywhere I can go that I don't know somebody because of WordPress.
Right.
And I've told this story. I'm sorry. I've told this story before, back before I discovered WordPress. I kind of stumbled upon this e-commerce platform, and there was this builder, this, you know, developer that was using it, and it was white labeled. And I was really curious. And so I knew that she had a bunch of sites with it. So I sent her an email, and I'm like, you know, hey, you know, what is this platform you're using? And she's like, I can't tell you that. And I'm sure you'll understand. And it was so standoffish and so competitive. And then when I went to the WordPress, the WordCamp, it was such a different atmosphere than my first experience talking to somebody else in my field.
Well, and that's like, I had a problem with, I was having a problem with one of my sites several months ago, and I just threw it up on Twitter. I'm like, why is it doing this? What am I doing wrong? And I had like 20 different people, some of whom I'd never met, didn't know, they just saw other people talking about it and jumped in to help, to try and like help me troubleshoot and problem solve when I couldn't figure it out. And like offers to do a phone call and a screen share or a, like whatever I needed. And it's just every time, like, it shouldn't surprise me, but it does. Like every time I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. This is how we behave. This is, and I just think that, you know, there's enough work to go around, that people just are willing to help and be kind and generous. And I that's the kind of world I want to live in. So it's why I choose to do work in WordPress, honestly.
And the people listening to the podcast aren't going to, you know, we don't do the video anymore, but Angela and I were just sitting here, you know, not vigorously nodding our head to this whole story about, yeah, everything. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And well, and it's true. Like when you work, when you work at a big company or in an agency, you have coworkers and collaborators and people that you're working on things with. And if, when you're working as an entrepreneur, you don't necessarily have that. Like, even if you have employees, you can't have the same relationship because you're their employees and you're whatever, right? But it's nice to feel like you have colleagues and collaborators and partners in business, essentially, in a lot of different ways with the whole community. So that's something that I really enjoy and has made it super rewarding to be working in WordPress. I feel like that there's also a lot more equity involved, where I feel like as a woman in WordPress, my voice is respected in a different way than it is in most other communities, business communities specifically. So that I also really enjoy.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And that's how I came to WordPress on my own. But then I really ended up getting more involved when I was part of a all women's designers group. And we had a little meetup in this woman's living room, had nothing to do with WordPress, but I happened to meet a person there who used WordPress, and I was 1 year. This was like, I got into WordPress 2007 and this was 2008. And so I was just fresh. I was really intimidated. I didn't understand. I kind of knew there's these files and a database, and I got that part. I got the CMS aspect of it, but you know, every little thing was intimidating, of course. And I was, people wanted designs that were intimidating for me to build from a CSS standpoint. I was, you know, scrambling. And then I met this person and we would just sit and have coffee and lunch and pizza for dinner. Like, we would just sit and get together all the time and just the two of us talk WordPress and help each other and teach each other. And, you know, I feel like that whole network community thing is what allowed my business to grow and to, like you said, not feel lonely, though I still feel like, I don't know how you feel about this, but it's an interesting topic to bring up. There is, because you don't have a job and you don't have a boss and you don't have performance reviews and you don't have anyone telling you, good job, you're doing very well there, Amber. Like, there is this tendency to have imposter syndrome. And I'm wondering if you ever feel that and how you deal with that.
Yes, all the time. Well, and because there isn't, like, my training isn't in development, but I've, like, in the last 5 or 6 years, like, I have developed multiple sites and I've built things for people. And I, it's just like, I still have this imposter syndrome to say that I'm a developer. Like, I would never say that. Like, I build in WordPress, but am I a developer? I don't know. Like, and then when people, you know, if you pin me down, my answer is like, I'm a writer and I tell stories. Like, that's what I do. I use WordPress as the platform to do that, but it's still like this, this sense of, I don't know, am I legitimate? And is this working? I mean, like, I'm paying my bills. I've been doing that for 5 or 6 years now, so I must be doing something right. But it's like, it's still like this sense of, like almost like somebody at some point is going to find out that I have no idea what I'm doing. And when that day happens, everything's going to come crashing down and come to, you know, shining ashes below me, like, is my world catches on fire. But I don't know if there's an answer to overcome that other than to just keep going. But I do think, like, sometimes it's a good reminder to remind yourself of what you have done and what you have built. And, like, I did that, like, I was talking to this other person, you know, about doing some work together the other day, and she was asking for writing samples and some examples of branding and things that I've done before. And so I pull out, like, you know, I sit down to write this email and I send this list of things. And by the time I'm done, I'm like, oh, I actually do have a lot of credentials here. Like, I've done a lot of work with, like, real serious people. But it was like, you know, if you'd asked me that 3 days beforehand, I would have been like, I don't know, I'm just figuring this out. Like, the world is falling apart. And so it's hard to say, like, from day to day. And I think that's something that is common to struggle with. And I think it's actually shown that it's more common for women to struggle with than with men, for sure. But a lot of times that imposter syndrome is just reminding yourself that, like, oh yeah, you do know what you're doing. You do have experience. You have done all of these things. And the thing that's in front of you is really hard and really scary, potentially. But it doesn't mean that you aren't qualified to do it, you know?
Yeah, I I have been embracing the word developer more, and I was interviewed for this little commercial for a plugin that I use. And I, so for Elementor, I was asked to be part of Elementor User Stories, and they sent a film crew from Israel to be with me for 12 hours and film me all day, which was a lot of fun. I just didn't want to see this film, but it was really fun to be in the film. Like, oh, I want to make movies every day, but just don't show me my, how my chin is looking from that angle or whatever it is. But I did use the word developer, and I'm like, wow, I kind of boldly went there. I just said developer, like I can work my way around some PHP code and I can write a query loop. And I've got some, you know, PHP skills there, but I wouldn't say I would write a full plugin from scratch. So it's interesting, like that line, like, can I call myself a developer? And it's like, well, I'm doing a lot more developing than a lot of other people are doing. So maybe I can use that. And it is a challenging thing, because one thing that we talked about, I think in a recent podcast, or conversation, was that it's hard when you work alone, 'cause you don't have colleagues to be with you. Like you, it's hard to up-level your skills because you don't have someone in the room saying, hey, will you look at my code? Can you look at this? Am I doing this right? Can you, you know, we don't get the mentoring and the, that kind of thing. And I wish there was a way, like you talked about at WordCamps, where we have our business support, like, hey, here's how you can run a freelance business. It would be really nice if we could get more opportunities to do code review with each other and have more conversations to help ourselves build up our skills in a better way and write more secure code.
I think that that's where my imposter syndrome would really come in strong. I'd be like, I don't want to be looking at this. but
that's
how
we learn. That's where we learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
I get so fed up with the whole, you know, you're not a real developer, you know, whole argument. And, you know, the way I look at it, I rarely ever say I'm a developer, but like I have made hundreds of websites from scratch, from nothing, you know, fresh WordPress installed to a beautifully custom designed site that has lots of functionality. To me, that's developing a website. I mean, where are we going to draw the line? If you're somebody that says, oh, that's not a real developer, well, then that just makes you an asshole. And I'm sorry, that's what I'm going to say about it.
I'm not a fan of gatekeepers in general, and I try not to be one. And so like, I consider myself a professional writer, professional marketing person, a professional advertising person. And some people are like, I'm not sure I'm a writer. I'm like, do you write? Then you're a writer. And it's the same as like, do you paint? Then you're a painter. Do you draw? Then you're a drawer. And I draw that line with myself where I'm like, I mean, I guess I'm developing things. That makes me a developer. It just puts me at a, you know, it depends what level you want to be at. But it's like, there's this, at least when I was growing up, there was a sense of like, anything you do, unless you're getting paid to do it, it doesn't count. But I'm like, well, I'm getting paid to do this thing. But it's like, you don't have to be the best and the most professional and the most knowledgeable to be a person who still is that thing. And I think that's important to remember, you know, is that it's, if you do it, then you're doing it. So, and I'm going to like,
oh, I love that point.
Put a little tack in that for myself.
I'm going to quote that afterwards on Twitter. If you're doing it, you're doing it.
I mean, that's so true. It's like, you know, so what if, you know, I'm doing it differently than how somebody else might do it. And there are many different paths to creating a great WordPress website. Like myself, I'm a Beaver Builder girl, and Angela's into Elementor, and Tracy's not into any of that stuff, but we all are still making great websites. So, you know, why does it have to be a competition? Why do we have to tear down other people to prove that we are, you know, qualified to do what we're doing?
And I honestly don't see a ton of that in the WordPress space. I usually see it in other spaces with developers and stuff, but I haven't seen a ton of it myself. But I also usually remove myself from negative conversations because I don't have time for that.
Oh, it's there. It's there. But I think we could all learn, because I think any of these tools that we're using, we can use as crutches, and we all could improve our skills, and we could all write more efficiently or build more efficient layouts or whatever. But that's where that's where kind of working on your own kind of does work against you. And part of why I like to be part of the meetups is because I've learned, like, oh, I have been writing these really bloated layouts because I didn't know better. Like, I just thought this is everything's a section, and it's like, oh, maybe that's going to output too much HTML, and here's a better way to do my layouts so it's more less HTML, you know, things like that. And it's like, but I didn't know, oh, I could do this thing or that thing and actually write more efficiently, or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, I think we do still need to learn from each other and need those opportunities to learn to, improve our skills, but definitely you don't want to be shamed over it, right? You don't want to be like, oh, you suck. It's like, well, maybe you just don't know better, but sometimes we don't know what we don't know too. And that's where we really do have to foster, I think, that those networking connections, because we need each other.
Yeah, I would agree with that, the networking connections. And I never realized how important they were until I got them, because, you know, I spent so many years just being by myself. It was myself and my sister, with nobody else. And then now we know all these people, and it's like, oh, that really does make a huge difference in your business. And I probably would have argued against it before I had those connections.
Yeah. And well, and that's where, I find too, that those are where some of my best connections come from, as far as building business as well. Cause I do a lot more of the content creation and the branding to kind of like bridge that gap between, like, I've built you a website and you still haven't given me content to help people bridge that gap with clients. And so it's like working with people who are doing a lot more of the building and developing, to be able to have them help them get the right things to put on the website that they're building. And those connections have mostly come from either WordCamps or meetups, or just even Twitter, and having those kind of conversations too. So there are multiple benefits for having community, that's for sure.
Hey, Women in WP listeners, this is Tracy with a quick message from our sponsor, Ninja Forms. Wish you could build forms for WordPress without spending forever or recruiting help? You can. Ninja Forms is the WordPress form plugin that is both extremely flexible and easy to use. Create contact forms, order forms, donation forms, and more in literally minutes using pre-built templates. Easily customize with form logic, upload fields, multi-step pages, and more. Just drag and drop what you need where you need it. Integrate with hundreds of services like MailChimp, Google Sheets, HubSpot, and more without needing to write a line of code. Get Ninja Forms now at ninjaforms.com. And now, back to our show.
Yeah, and this storytelling thing that you do, and certainly getting content out of clients, is like pulling teeth. And so how do you recommend working with clients to get them to tell their story? Do you have any special strategies to kind of get the pump flowing?
Yeah, I actually don't build websites for people that don't do a branding workshop with me. Mostly because they think they know what they want to say, and they just never do. Like, and it's the same, and I'll say it's the same for myself. If I sit down to write my own words for my own website, it is so much harder than writing words for somebody else's website. Just because I have a lot more second guessing, a lot more imposter syndrome, all of those things. But so I have a series of workshops that I take clients through that helps them, unless, make a caveat, like if they already have a brand guidelines as far as their tonality and their voice and their persona, and they know who their ideal client is and all of those things, that's a whole different conversation. I have yet to run across a client who has that. I've worked with a couple of clients who are just on content, who were rebuilding sites or doing rebranding, that are, they're huge companies, 25, 26 years old. They're publicly traded. They make millions of dollars a quarter, like huge things, which, like, that's imposter syndrome right there, is to come in and be like, let me tell you how to tell your story. And they don't know. They have no idea, and they've never done this work. And so I take them through the same process that I take my startup business, who has zero money to start with through in order to find that, find what their story is. Because usually they think they know, and what they think they know is how to talk about their product. And that is not what anybody wants to hear, actually. They want to hear how their product is going to change their life. How are you going to make my business better, my internet faster, my, you know, my feet feel better, my whatever it is, right? My site more secure. That's what they want to know. And it's really hard for companies to do that when they talk about themselves, is to talk, to not talk about themselves and talk about their clients instead. And so I have a series of workshops that I take people through that pulls that sort of information out, like what's the most important thing you want to say, what's the best thing that your product does, and walk them through that branding process to know what their brand story is and who they are and how they talk about it and what their voice is and things like that. And once we get there, it's a lot easier to get the rest of the story told. And so by the time we're done with that, we've really pulled out all the important pieces for a basic front page, for a basic about us page, things like that, to at least get them to the point where we know what story it is that we're telling and who we're telling it to and how we're saying it. And then I do not do graphic design, because it's not my skill set, but I have some fabulous graphic designers I work with that usually can go from there with like logos and colors and typography and all of those kind of things. You have to do that work in between. That's a lot of conversation and a lot of thinking about your business in a different way, rather than just, well, we have a logo and these are my favorite colors and this is my favorite font, so this is what we're going to use. And instead, it's like getting people started in a place where they can actually make a difference with a beautiful website that also has words that drive their ideal customer to purchase their product, which is the end game most of the time. But it's and I say it's a workshop and that sounds really boring, but it's really actually quite fun. And usually people respond with, I don't know how this has anything to do with what I'm trying to say, but it's really fun. And I'm like, trust me, there's a method to the madness and the magic will happen. And usually by the time we're done, they're like, I had no idea this is where we were going, but it's exactly what I need to say. I don't know how you did that. And I'm like, well, it's magic. That's what I tell them.
Wow. I want to do this. I want to do it. I need it. I need your workshop. I need this magic in my life.
Can we sign up for the workshop, even if we're not getting anything from you?
Sure. We can do the workshop just for fun. The problem is you have to get something at the end. Otherwise the workshop's no fun. If you leave the workshop and you're like, well, I don't know what that meant. Instead, you have to walk away with at least, you know, this is who my brand is. This is who my voice is. So
do you do this? How are you conducting this with people now? Do you do it via Zoom? Do you send them worksheets? Like what's the medium?
No, it's all via Zoom. It's all live. So the secret is that when you ask people a question, they'll give you the wrong answer. Almost every time. And then you ask the question again and they'll get a little closer to the right answer. And then you ask the question again. And the secret is five times, typically how long it takes to get people to give you the right answer. Now you don't just ask the same question over and over again, cause that would be annoying. But you ask it differently and then they think about it differently and you expound on what they said. And so it has to be a live conversation or else they don't get there. I didn't invent this. This is part of design thinking that was developed by somebody else and developed by somebody else and the psychology and things behind it. But so it's like the five whys. And so if you ask somebody, you know, why they've named their product XYZ, like, well, we named it XYZ because of this. Because it's my dog's name. Well, why did you name your dog that? What is this like? And they'll tell you. And then you're like, well, why is your dog like this thing? And it really like leads them down this path where it's like, it becomes this, oh, the reason we named our product this is because it makes people feel good. Like when we see our dog who is loving and happy and fluffy and loves everybody and makes everybody feel better. And that's what our product does, is it helps people feel like this. And then you have a place to start from to tell a story, rather than this is what our product is named, which is all they would give you if you gave them, if you sent a worksheet home. So although I do have, this is kind of off topic, or maybe not, but I do a brand, I do a workshop that's finding your brand hero. So what's your product story, essentially? To kind of walk people through this whole thing. And then I send them home with a worksheet that's like Mad Libs they fill out, trying to figure out what their vision and their mission and stuff is by answering a bunch of these questions. And so that's a really fun, a fun way to send home actionable steps after a just a presentation versus a one-on-one workshop that really seems to help get people's gears turning and thinking differently about their business. So that I could share if you want, if you're interested, I could share, and you could share with the with your audience if they're interested too, just to try it out and see what they think. But it's I think it should be fun. And that's kind of my theory with most things in life, is if you're having, if you're not having fun, then you should make different choices. You know?
Oh, there's another one.
A quotable episode. Rethink your life.
Well, I love your creative approach to this, because like I said, like pulling teeth, you don't want it to be pulling teeth. But I think that way of kind of getting around it, rather than just asking the straight boring questions, like, you know, what you're doing is you're really kind of going deep, but very in a very creative way to get those answers out. And I it's got, kind of getting me thinking about things in a really different way. And yeah.
Well, that's good. That's my goal, is like to approach things a little bit differently, and with more fun. So like one of the exercises we do is that I'll do is I'll have an image and I'll have, you know, a pair of hiking boots and a pair of like spiky heels that have the actually have spikes all over them, and a pair of flip-flops, and be like, which one of these is most like your business? And then they have to think about it, and inevitably they'll say none of them. And I'll say, no, you have to choose. And then you have to tell me why you chose that one. And that's usually my first slide, actually, when we do the workshop. And people, it is so funny, because by the time we're done, they're just enjoying themselves, but it kind of like breaks down these barriers, because then I'll always say, okay, the spiky heels are now your business. Tell me why it's your business. And, or whatever the opposite one is, the one that they chose. And then they have to like, I'm asking them why again, why is this like your business? Tell me about your business. What is your business like? But I'm asking in a way that doesn't feel like that. And so they have to think creatively about it and come up with a different answer and different solution.
That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. I also noticed that you have done some time as a stand-up comedian, and you're not the first stand-up comedian that we've had on the podcast. So I was wondering if you could tell us if you think that that has played any role in your work in WordPress, and if so, in what way?
Well, it definitely, the thing that stand-up comedy will teach you better than anything else in your life is how to fail in front of large groups of people and get over yourself. Like, honestly, like that is the number one thing it'll teach you, is that when you think something will work, it doesn't mean that it will work. and just because it works once doesn't mean it'll work again. Like it's going to, you have to constantly change for your audience. I did stand-up comedy for about 4 years. And it really does. And I stopped when I started my business, just because they both require so much time and energy. And my business pays a lot better than comedy did. But it is also, it's one of those things that makes you think on your feet fast. And it helps you interact with all kinds of different people. Like I've so many people in my life that I would have never met any other way, except that there are other comedians that were in the Phoenix area. That's where I did comedy. But that you just learn and grow from so many other people's experiences and build a whole different kind of community. And I actually, I did improv at the same time. I was performing with an improv group, which the two methods of comedy are very, very different. One is an all-in group collaborative thing, which is an improv. And then stand-up is very much an isolation, it's solo performance. And it's kind of interesting that stand-up comedy was really good for me in a lot of ways in building business. Improv is probably even more important because it taught me so much more about collaboration, about working together, about making sure that your teammate on stage with you is the star, and all of those kind of things where it's like, if your client isn't winning and isn't the star of the show, then you're not doing your job right. You're missing something. And that's where like being able to lift up other people and make sure that other people are succeeding is really where like that those improv chops come in. But also where the first rule of improv is to say yes and. So when somebody offers you something on stage, you accept it. You say yes, and then you you build on it, right? And that's how business is. Like business is a lot of like, I thought I was going to start out doing content creation. I was going to do content for people and maybe some public relations, and that's what I was going to do. And now I do branding and I build websites and I do a lot more consulting and creative consulting than I ever thought I'd be doing. And it's because when somebody said, can you do this? I said, yes. And then I was like, oh, and I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this. And it gave me like a launch pad to start from where it was like, you can really do anything if you put your mind to it and try and figure it out and work with people and have a community and all of those things. And that's really where those kind of chops came in. Probably stronger than anything else was to be able to do that, where it was like, I thought I was starting out solo, and now, you know, 5.5 years later, it's like, I have a whole community around me that's supporting me. And so it's more of that working together in collaboration from the improv side of things than ever standing on stage alone by myself. So, but it also, makes a very low bar for being funny on stage when you're at business conferences and work camps, when you've been on stage in a bar where people are like, be funny every 30 seconds, I need to laugh. And instead it's like, it's very fun to go to work camps and everything I say is funny, even if it's not really that funny, it's because the bar is so low. But it makes it really fun to be able to do things like that too. So
I feel like my whole WordPress experience is yes and. We should just rename it yes and. Oh my goodness. Yep. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. We also want to thank our sponsor, Ninja Forms. Before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Yeah, you can find me. My website is amplitude.media, or you can find me on Twitter at AmpliTeaching. It's probably the easiest way to contact me and connect and be friends and build cool stuff.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womenandwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.